Well, I'd like us this morning to take a little bit of time to consider together words that we have read from the 23rd Psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I, probably like yourselves, have been to various presentations at Thanksgiving. And at such times, sometimes we reflect that the worst fault of such presentations can often be that there is no clarity as to whom we are expected to be thankful. There may be a long list, and indeed a very imaginative list of all the things that we ought to be thankful for, but scarcely a reference to the one to whom we are supposed to be thankful. Apparently, one is supposed to be thankful in a sort of a vacuum. Almost as bad as that is the utter triviality of the things listed. A pair of gloves on a winter's day, a cup of hot chocolate. Well, I have to say that the hot chocolate would come higher up my list than the pair of gloves, but I can understand how we could be thankful for that, and indeed ought to be thankful for that. In such presentations, I've yet to hear somebody say, well, I'm thankful that I didn't wake up in hell. And that would probably give rise to the sort of nervous laughter that almost escaped your lips this morning. Should we not be thankful that we didn't wake up in hell? If we had woken up in hell, I think we would wish that we had been more thankful. We recognize that we function most of the time on a rather superficial level. How often are you asked in the course of the day, how are you? And perhaps unaware of the grammatical incorrectness, say good, when of course you know that you should be saying fine. And you no more want to be able to give the fullness of that answer than the person really wants to hear how you are doing. It's that politeness, the polite thing to say, how are you? Fine, and then you move on. The person really doesn't want to hear any more than you want to give the fullness of the answer. So being thankful for gloves and hot chocolate is fine, but there does come a time when the trivial or the deflection has to be set aside, when the surface response, superficial, needs to be replaced by the substantial. How are you? Well, thank you for asking. I'm not doing so well. And if there has ever been a year when it is appropriate to set aside the inconsequential and trivial, this is surely that year. To dig down deep and come up with the core reasons for our thankfulness. Well, the words of Psalm 23 and verse 4 are familiar. Perhaps most of you, certainly in the metrical version, which we will, by God's grace, shortly sing together, maybe repeated from memory without needing to look down at the words. I suppose, however, that it is not often that you actually hear these words expounded, for all the fact that they are so familiar to us. Perhaps you may have heard them spoken about and pressed upon your hearts at a funeral. But I venture to suggest that you've never heard these words set before you at a Thanksgiving Day service before. Seldom do we consider these words, perhaps because they are so weighty. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, this morning I'd like us to consider David's confidence, his courage, and the cause that he has for both of them. First of all, the confidence. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In God's providence, I was watching a program on General George Patton. Some of you may know that from your history books, and he was a quite remarkable general. I'm not sure that I would have wanted to make him my best friend, but he was someone whom the Lord used to lead the armies in retaking Europe from the evil of Nazi Germany. He made it a point to be quite fearless in battle, and there was a little event which I hadn't heard before, how he and General MacArthur stood up in the line of fire, and while bullets were flying all around them, they refused to crouch down or kneel. And such stories are, I think Stonewall Jackson had the same sort of attitude. He would just stand proud in the midst of the fight. And of course, the world's greatest naval hero, Horatio Nelson, was noted for similar courage under fire, which was why bits of him were often blown off, losing an eye in one battle, losing an arm in another, and ultimately losing his life. We admire their bravery, perhaps we even envy them. When I heard of a young man that went backpacking in Iran, he won my admiration. I envied him that willingness to place himself where I'm not sure I would want to go backpacking. He put me in mind of a line from Kipling. He didn't seem to know the use of fear. He didn't seem to know the use of fear. Listen to how the psalmist speaks. And it's easy for us to miss the import because it's so well known, and because it's so familiar to us, that even before we are engaged in the question of whether he ought to fear or not, he's told us something that really is perhaps even more important. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Where's our attention taken? It's often taken to the valley of the shadow of death, especially at such times when we desire the comfort that does come to us from God's word. But do you see what it tells us? What David is saying, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He's conveying to us that he's keeping an even pace. Even though his life, as it were, is under threat, he doesn't quicken his pace as he walks through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't hide behind a rock. He's not saying, I'm hoping if I just put my head down and cover my eyes, I'll get through this. That simple statement tells us so much. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll not be forced by anxiety to quicken my pace. Well, I can be thankful for hot chocolate on a winter's day. But how exceedingly more valuable it is to have confidence when faith meets its greatest test, the final enemy. Well, perhaps the words of Psalm 23 are best known to us in the metrical version, but the ESV does actually bring out something more of the flavor. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even though. If we as God's people can meet even with the ultimate enemy, the last enemy, as Paul describes it, with confidence, then all other challenges will prove of but passing concern. Do you see what David is saying? Even though, if I can meet even the last enemy, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that will not cause me to quicken my pace or to hide behind a rock. I'll have confidence even in the face of death. Well, if I have confidence even in the face of death, whatever else might be brought our way, we can surely say, I'll meet that with the same degree of confidence. This year has been a year for all of us, and for probably for about 7 billion other people on the face of the earth, a year like no year that we have ever experienced before. And though it is our custom often to greet the new year in at the midnight hour as they transition from the 31st of December to the 1st of January, I suspect that most of us will not so much be greeting the new year as being glad to see the end of this one. A pandemic has brought much concern to many folk. And we see it still upon our streets. We see it in our family and friends. We see it in complete strangers. I was in a well-known grocery store, and as I don't get paid for advertising, I won't tell you which one. Now, the person standing in front of me was probably 20 feet away from the person in front. Okay, social distancing, but this was excessive. I felt as though I was standing at the back of the store because he was so far away. Why? He wanted to be as far away from the next person as possible. Well, the next person was 6 feet away, and that was me. But he couldn't do much about that. Why was he standing so far away? The only explanation I can give was fear. He was frightened. And though he probably wouldn't have expressed it in those terms, he was wanting to keep as much distance between him and other people as he possibly could. Well, you and I are not immune. You and I may indeed, before this virus has worked its way out, succumb to it. Temporarily, we hope not permanently. But even if we do not succumb to the virus itself, there will be the economic, the social, the political consequences of the year of pandemic. And though we may not be fearful for our health, we may be fearful for the implications for whatever the future might hold. And yet here we are, on the day that's set aside for Thanksgiving, in the context of a global pandemic. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. And that would bring me to the second point from this particular line from Scripture. I will fear no evil, says David. Well, let's be clear. What is David not saying? He's not saying there will be no evil, therefore I might as well just take this stroll through the valley of the shadow of death. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, even if I meet with evil, I will not fear. Not that there will not be an evil to fear. The evil will be there, but I will not fear it. As we sometimes say it, saying, I know not what of good or ill has been reserved for me. And how does that continue? Say it to your own heart now. For I know whom I have believed, And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted unto him against that day. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control. The Christian might, in the picture of Pilgrim's Progress, meet with Apollyon. But God has provided armor for him, but no armor for the back. Boys and girls, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, you'll see that God provides armor for his saints, but there is no armor for the back of a Christian. We are not meant to turn our back upon Apollyon, upon whatever causes us to fear. The psalmist talks about being able to rush against a troop. In other words, the odds seem to be overwhelming. But when you're with God, or better still, when God is with you, those fears subside. Courage in the face of whatever tomorrow might bring. So as we're thinking at Thanksgiving about what it is we should be thankful for, yes, by all means, be thankful for hot chocolate and a pair of gloves on a cold day. But there's so much more that should be higher up our list. And that brings me to the third point that I'd like to lay before you this morning, the cause. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for, and here he gives his reason, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's where our confidence lies. There's what grants to us courage. Thou art with me. Need I say more? Well, David did, so that gives me a license to preach just a little bit longer. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Ever wondered why there's two things? If we picture the image, there's the shepherd, and he has the staff in one hand, and he has a rod in the other. Well, you may have seen at times the dignitaries of Episcopal churches that have bishops with a capital B. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the bishop that I had with a small b, a biblical bishop, when I was an assistant minister. He was the minister of a very significant congregation in London, and he was moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, which is quite an important post for the year. And anyway, he was invited to take part in a magnificent church service where a lot of bishops were there, and they all had their bishop's crooks, which they brought into the vestry to get changed for the big service. They put on their surplice and so forth. And as the moderator of the Church of Scotland came up, of course he didn't have a bishop's staff. And one of the bishops asked him about that. He just said, well, you have to know that there are no crooks in the Church of Scotland. Well, that's probably not much of an illustration, but it was quite funny at the time. David talks about there being the shepherd's staff in one hand and the rod in the other. What is it that David is trying to bring to our attention? The crook has that wonderful curve at the end to pull the sheep back when it's going in the wrong direction. And the rod is to gently prompt the sheep to go in the right direction. And that's what David is saying about our good shepherd. At times he will have the staff that will pull us back. And at times it will be the rod to push us forward. But at all times the shepherd has his eye upon the sheep to guide us and to lead us through. The good shepherd is with his sheep every step of the way. We have so much to be thankful for. Gloves on a cold day, sure. Hot chocolate on a snowy day, of course. But brethren, lift your eyes higher. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. We have indeed much to be thankful for, and perhaps your family, as my family has done from time to time, go round the Thanksgiving table and enlist from each person sitting at the table, what is it that you are thankful for? And making that list, and make it as long as you like. Don't just go round once, go round another time, because we should be thinking, what is it that I should be thankful for? And by all means, put upon that list gloves and hot chocolate and whatever else your imagination then conjures up. And when you have created that list 1,000 lines long, take your pen in the thickest felt pen that you have and write across the top, and chief of them all, thou art with me. Thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our heavenly Father, we do thank thee for this psalm. And in a year when the world has been turned upside down and many fears press in upon us, we ask that thou wouldst write these words upon our hearts, that we may be a thankful people. For we have so much to be thankful for. We do thank thee, Lord, for the nation. We do thank thee, Father, for our families. We thank thee for the time of fellowship and rejoicing with family and friends, which we anticipate in just a few short moments. But this day, O most gracious God, sweet Father in heaven, we do thank thee for this psalm. That even though we may pass at times through the valley of the shadow of death, that we need fear no evil. Cause us this day, each of us, to write at the top of the list of the things for which we are thankful, thou art with me. Hear us, we pray, for the sake of thy dear Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.